Hey y'all, welcome to Black Pod Collective, the podcast, where we teach podcasters how to podcast. Yeah, you heard that right. We teach aspiring and current podcasters how to start, grow, and sustain their platforms. So let's see what today's host has to share.
Hi, my name is Carrie Ann Reed Brown, and I'm the founder of Breadfruit Media, a podcast production company. I'm also the founder of Caribbean Podcast Directory. In addition to both of those, for over 5 years, I have been the host of Carry On Friends, the Caribbean American podcast, which focuses on the dual experience of being Caribbean heritage living in the United States. Before launching the podcast in 2015, Carry On Friends first started out as a blog in 2013, which is why I'm here today, to talk about blogging your way to increased listenership.
Oh no, is that an echo?
Oh no, you're not using social media effectively.
Oh no, no one's listening to your podcast.
It's the Oh No segment. Let's hear today's host, Biggest Oh No's.
Before we go any further, here are three most common mistakes people make when starting their blogs. Number one, no newsletter opt-in. A huge opportunity is missed if there's nothing to capture visitors who might be interested in hearing more from you or getting your content. You're missing out on a really important audience building opportunity. Number two, taxonomy, meaning the categories that organize the blog. There's either too little or too much of it. Too little or none is where there's a single page for all posts, whereas too much is where there's a category for every topic, even if there's only one post for the topic. And number three, a very generic about page. There's no picture on the about page or information about you or how you can be contacted. I get it, we're camera shy, myself included, but people like to see and put a face to who they're listening to. Okay. Now that you're aware of those three don'ts, let's talk about six things you can do to blog your way to increase listenership. Number one, if you don't already have a website or blog, I encourage you to look into starting one. A website is an often overlooked asset by podcasters. However, a dedicated website is highly recommended and important in reaching a wider audience. By having a dedicated podcast website, you increase the chances of people finding your show. You can provide your audience with more content outside the podcast and promote products, services, and more to your listeners. There's another major advantage a dedicated website has, and that is SEO, search engine optimization. SEO is helpful when anyone uses Google to search for your podcast or a topic you've covered on the podcast or search for a guest that has appeared on your show. For example, this month, a guest I had on my podcast, Carry On Friends, a year ago is trending. And so people searching for him found my website. I use WordPress personally because it offers me more flexibility. However, if you're starting out and are worried about the complexity of WordPress, Squarespace is a good alternative. Number two, spend lots of attention to your about page. Your about page will be in your top three visited pages on the website. After the home page, people want to know who is behind the website. So spend time here building a good about page, which covers a little bit about who you are and what your platform is about and how people can contact you. Three, diversify content. I'll admit, podcasting and blogging simultaneously isn't easy. So you have to set a schedule that is manageable for you. For now, if you're just creating your blog/website, you may just start off with creating a blog post for each episode that contains a longer summary or show notes and also includes a transcript. However, over time, I encourage you to diversify the content other than your podcast episodes. Now, if you already have a website, but only posting podcast episodes, then I'd say to start maybe considering content curation, which is finding content elsewhere that is relevant to your audience. With your website, you don't have to link and include only your content. Actually, a mix of internal and external linking is recommended for best practices for SEO. Remember, you are making it easier for your audience to find content that is relevant to them. Here's another example of what I did on Carry On Friends. In 2016, I wrote a blog post titled, Four TED Talks by Caribbean American Women You Should Watch. All I did there was make it easier for my audience to find really good TED Talks by people who they feel are a representation of their culture. A recent report I got from Google shows me it is a top three growing page compared to the previous month. Now, I don't know what prompted this, but the lesson here is to create valuable, informative, educational, or entertaining content. And when your audience or someone needs it, with Google and good SEO, they will search and probably find it. So after you've graduated from creating a blog post for every episode and content curation, you now might want to consider creating your own posts on complementary topics to your podcast. You want to make a list of these complementary topics that you can write about that is of interest to your audience. So for example, for me, that's books, particularly books by Caribbean authors. I also cover career on the podcast, but I also love music. And so I wrote a blog called Career Lessons You Can Learn from Third World, a band that I love and has been around longer than I've been alive. It was written last year when the band celebrated their 45th year and the release of their 22nd album. Number four, repurpose, repurpose, repurpose. Content is a living thing, and depending on your platform, a good amount of your content should be evergreen, meaning always relevant and can be recycled. There's no need to reinvent the wheel. New listeners won't always go back to your catalog, especially if you've been around for over 2 years. So make it easier for new listeners to listen to your back catalog if those older episodes are evergreen. A few examples would be best of episodes, and you could create new blog content focusing on a theme. This is a great way to bring readers' attention to episodes. Blog posts are a great way to link to existing content. Start Here playlists are also great. You can incorporate the Start Here playlists or other references to episodes in the About page. Remember, we spoke about paying a lot of attention to your About page because it's going to be one of your top visited pages. On my About page, I don't have a Start Here playlist, but I do say to understand and learn more about why Carry On Friends exists, listen to, and I inserted and linked the names of three episodes. It's important to note that you can update this as newer, more popular, more relevant episodes are released that would be good examples for new visitors. So it doesn't have to stay stagnant. You can update this as better or newer, exciting episodes. That would be great examples. Number five, tools. Google Analytics. You must have Google Analytics connected to your website. Google helps you see where traffic is coming from, your most visited pages, and this should be used in conjunction with the stats from your podcast hosts. More or less, they'll correlate, and you will also get insights as to what social media links that people are coming from to your website and a bunch of other data. Google Analytics is one way to get to know your audience. Another tool that is especially critical is the Google Webmasters tool, also known as Google Search Console. This is a separate tool, but it's complementary with Google Analytics. It gives you insights as to what the top searches your site appears in. Google won't show you every search term used to get to your blog/website, but it will show you the ones frequently used. Remember, Google ranks your site for relevance, and based on your content, it shows the person who is searching your site based on how relevant your content is to what they're looking for. So I recently got my report from my Google Search Console, and that's another great thing. They send email summaries. And my top searches in Google aren't always podcast related, but people discover the podcast after they've looked at the other content that they've been searching for. I write a lot about books, and those articles consistently shows up in searches. It is one way how people discover the podcast. Both Google Analytics and Search Console send monthly performance emails, which you should look at and use as reference as to what content is performing and how you can create more content or similar content. The third tool is Yoast, Y-O-A-S-T, Yoast. Now, Yoast is a plugin that works on WordPress. It operates with SEO best practices and shows you real-time the SEO grade of your post. Posts are given colors red, orange, or green. And Yoast gives you suggestions on what to do to improve your post. One thing to note, Yoast constantly updates to reflect the most updated SEO best practices. So if you have a post that is given a green grade a year ago, it might downgrade to be an orange or a red. The Yoast dashboard shows you the breakdown of your post by red, orange, and green. It's important to note that Yoast is not available on Squarespace. Squarespace says they build SEO best practices into their platforms. The fourth tool, and it's a tool because marketing is a tool, you have to market it. Like your podcast, you can't just publish a blog post and leave it. You must market it in very creative ways to bring people to your website. Now, the sixth tip is know your audience, what they want, and give them that. Now, you can know your audience by looking at the data from Google and your podcast host, because both of these give you insights about your audience in terms of demographics, locations, etc. But don't forget to survey your audience through your newly acquired newsletter, as well as via social media.
Be a part of the conversation by emailing your questions to hello@blackpodcollective.com.
You can also join the collective by visiting our website, blackpodcollective.com, and selecting membership.
We look forward to welcoming you to the collective.
Audience question number one. Can my show transcript serve as a blog post? Will it serve the purpose of increasing SEO? Yes, but make sure you're also not posting the transcript by itself. You are embedding the audio along with the transcript. I like Otter.ai as a tool because Otter tells you the top keywords in your transcript, which will help you determine the focus word for the post for SEO purposes and can help you craft your title. So here's an example. I had an interview with a guest, and the title of the episode in Apple and in podcasts is Unleash Your Epicness, which is a topic that she talks about a lot. But for the blog and SEO, I modified the title based on the transcript because after looking at the transcript results, it showed me that imposter syndrome was his second most used term in our conversation. So on the blog, the title of this episode is Minimize Imposter Syndrome to Unleash Your Epicness. See what I did there? So make sure you're using a tool that can help you assess what are the most frequent words in that transcript so you can know what you should be using for SEO purposes, for keywords. Number two, how long do blog posts need to be? The minimum is 300 words. However, long posts tend to do well, but make sure the content is valuable and it's not overstuffed with keywords. Otherwise, Google could penalize you. If you use WordPress, the Yoast plugin, again, as I mentioned previously, will show you real time the SEO grade of your post. Number three, if your show guest has a blog, would it be appropriate to ask them to post it on their platforms as well? If you're asking them to repost on social media, that's totally appropriate. I use language something like this. Thank you for being a guest on Carry On Friends and sharing your expertise on X, Y, and Z. I would be honored if you shared the interview with your audience and I add a little bit more description to that. Now, I wouldn't advise you to ask your guests to repost the entire blog post on their own blog or website because Google and search engines may have trouble easily identifying which site is the original, most relevant, and trusted. And as a result, you may have the opposite effect of getting ranked in the searches. So what I've done in the past and what guests have done, they could make a summary of the post and maybe pull quotes from it, but not post it in its entirety. And of course, you want them to reference your site. Thank you for tuning into this episode. You can connect with me on social media at Breadfruit Media, or you can email me at info@breadfruitmedia.com. Welcome to The Collective.
This has been a Podhouse Media production.